John 19, verses 25 to 27. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Here endeth the reading.
Father, we pray this morning that you would teach us, for we want to learn. Encourage us, for sometimes we are discouraged. Inspire us so that we may be filled with passion for you, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today, as we know, many parts of the world, Mother's Day is being celebrated, a day to remember and honour our mothers. For some, this is not a happy day. There are too many painful memories of mothers or children. For some who've never had children, there is a certain sadness. For some who've lost children to accident or death, it's a day to mourn. It's not always the day of joy that it is for many people. Whatever your situation, I'm hoping, though, that you will allow me just for a short time to give you a biblical perspective on why we should honour mothers and why they should be remembered. The origin of Mother's Day. Celebration of Mother's Day on the 2nd of May began just over 100 years ago in West Virginia in 1910 after a campaign by an American lady named Anna Jarvis. Her mother had died, but she was so endeared and indebted to her mother, she wanted America to set aside a day that they could celebrate all that mothers meant to their children and to their families. So she campaigned until in the state of West Virginia, they declared the second Sunday in May Mother's Day. And we've had it ever since. However, we know that the idea of honouring our mothers began long before Anna Jarvis thought about it. It actually began in the Ten Commandments. Honour your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So although fathers were included, we now set aside a day for you in September, it's very important that we honour our mothers. I want you to notice where this commandment fits into the list of 10. The first four commandments are what we call our duty to God. The last six are what we call our duty to our neighbour. And the first of the last six is our duty to our parents. In other words, the bridge between God and neighbour is our parents. The first commandment also with a promise. Honour your father and your mother that your days may be long. In other words, that your life will be better. You will have a more prosperous, peaceful and happy life if you learn to honour your parents. Today we are thinking about them and we're thinking about honouring our mothers. Now, I want to take you for a little journey into the Bible to talk about mothers as the Bible envisages, or the ideal mother as seen in the Bible. particularly in the book of Proverbs, you will find a mine of information about mothers. And particularly if we turn to the epilogue in Proverbs 31, there's a picture of the ideal wife and mother. And I've picked out several characteristics that are mentioned here of the ideal mother. These are they. She will have a servant heart. She longs to serve her family day and night, longing to see that their needs are met. She wants to serve her family. She will be a dedicated homemaker, always available, a dedicated homemaker. Her housework, her mending and her sewing are all in hand, winter and summer. Lemuel, who is the writer of Proverbs 31, tells us she will always have everything up to date. She will be busy, not idle. Her lamp never goes out. She's available to assist her husband and her children as much as she can. She's also a businesswoman. I didn't put that on that list. But if you read Proverbs 31, you'll discover she was also quite a canny businesswoman. She was a wise and faithful teacher of her children. She trained her children well. She is a God-fearing woman. And that's extremely important, that she is a God-fearing woman who wants to train her children. Someone once remarked that the best version of the Bible that they ever read was the version their mother lived out in front of them. She's also got time for the needy. Not only does she care for her family day and night, she spares a thought for the needy and she sows for them. Such a mother, the writer observes, is far greater than all the jewels in the world, far greater and worth far more than rubies. And the children, as well as the husband of such a mother, will rise up and call her blessed. I was fortunate enough to have such a mother. I count myself fortunate. I still count myself very fortunate. Not a week or a day probably, but certainly not a week would go by when I'm not thinking about my mother and how grateful I am to her. She died 31 years ago. But some of the things she taught me still run through my brain in lots of situations. Abraham Lincoln, one of America's greatest presidents, he too could say of his mother, "Everything I am or could ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." Now the Bible speaks of several mothers well worth emulating. I could have given you quite a list, but I decided just to mention four this morning. First one is a lady named Jochebed. Jochebed was the mother of Moses. You don't hear much of her in the Bible. What's important about Jochebed? Well, she feared God instead of Pharaoh. She wasn't afraid of Pharaoh. So she took her baby, put him in a basket, took him down to the Nile River, and set Miriam there to watch over him, hoping that he would be spared the execution of Jewish babies that was about to happen or was started already to happen. She was not afraid of Pharaoh, so she was prepared to obey God and honour God. So she put him in the river. Mary, the mother of Jesus, seen by some to be the mother who is the example to all mothers. Certainly we know about Mary of her humility, her love and her care. To be chosen to be the mother of the Christ child, God must have known there was something special about Mary. We read this morning, of how Jesus' care for his mother was evident when he was on the cross. In his 7 final words, one of those was to make sure that his mother was looked after. She was a great example of loving care. And the last two go together, Lois and Eunice. You may not remember much about Lois and Eunice. Lois and Eunice are mentioned in the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy. Why are they important? Paul reminds Timothy that he learnt the scriptures as a boy from his mother and his grandmother. How important it is that we learn, or that our parents, if we have them, and if your children, and you have children and grandchildren, that you can play some part in their life teaching them the scriptures. Those of us who were fortunate to be here on Tuesday at the seniors' conference heard about some stirring examples of grandmothers who sowed into the life of their children the word of God. In some communist countries where the mantra was, there is no God, to hear of grandmothers who whispered to their children, there is a God, and who were able then to take the opportunity to share that faith, their faith, with their children. Great examples, Lois and Eunice, of people who were prepared to pass on the faith to the young Timothy. May we have more Loises and Eunices in our congregation. Well, thirdly, how should we honour our mothers? This is a good question for a Christian to consider. There are two parts to this answer. One of them will not really apply to very many people here. When we are younger, the key one there is to obey your mother. I don't want you to spend time thinking about that if you've already left the care of your mother and you now are a mother or a father, or you've left home. If you're still obeying mummy, then we've got some sort of a problem, because you should have left home and established your own life without having mummy telling you what to do. But when I speak about this at 5 o'clock tonight, I will emphasise the importance of obeying the parents. Certainly the other things we should do, and these still apply, are to honour them, to esteem them, to value them, to cherish them, for that's what honour means. To assist them where in whatever way you can, to spend time with them. Some people don't wish to spend too much time with their parents, whether they're young or old. But it's very important to honour your parents by spending some time with them. Communicate with them. It means such a lot, like spending time with them, to be able to communicate with them. I've told this congregation before that when I left home at 19 to teach in the country, and my mother said, I want to have a letter every week. Now, as a young person, I had things to do, life to discover. Would I find time to write a weekly letter to my mother? Yes, I did find time to write a letter. This was in the days when my mother would have been scandalised if I'd have said, I'm not writing a letter this week, I'm going to call you up on the phone. What a waste of money, she would have thought. She wanted that letter, and I imagined her trotting out to the letterbox every week to get that letter. My sister was in Africa. She also wrote a letter every week, and they were the two things that my mother looked forward to, because she wanted us to continue to communicate, to keep in touch. These days, with mobile phones, we have less excuse than ever to not be communicating with our mothers by email and by going to see them, and to thank them as often as possible for what they do and are doing and have done for us. And the second part of that is that when we're older, I think there are two more things, and that is to care for and provide for. The scriptures are very clear, both in the words of Jesus in Matthew's gospel and in the words of the apostle in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, that we should be caring for our parents. In fact, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees of his day who were diverting their money into the kingdom work rather than using it to care for their parents. He was very scathing of that approach. And the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, said, "Remind people that if they do not care for their family, especially their immediate family, they are worse than unbelievers," implying that even unbelievers will care for their family, and we should see that as a priority. How will we do that? Well, these days we do have more nursing homes and pensions, things like that, but doesn't take away from the overall responsibility we have to see that our parents are cared for in whatever way we can assist them. A person who doesn't care for his relatives is not acting in a Christian way at all. Overall, when it comes to our parents, we hope that we will let Proverbs 23:25 be our guide, which reads, "May your father and mother be glad, and may she who gave you birth rejoice." In other words, may your mother be proud of you and not be wishing that somehow you hadn't been born. May she who gave you birth rejoice. So that's how we should honour our mothers, care for them, thank them, assist them, spend time with them, and when we're younger, of course, as I will say tonight, obey them. But there's a what if with which I wish to close. I said at the beginning, not everyone's experience of their mother has been ideal. Not everyone has known the warmth of a mother's love. I was speaking to one such person this week, a youngish person. She said to me, "I don't have any good memories of my mother. Mother's Day for me is not a happy day." Not everyone has been able to give that love to another. Not everyone has been able to receive that love. But the Bible tells us about a love that surpasses even a mother's love. We read about it already this morning in the prophet Isaiah, where he quotes God speaking to the Israelites. "Can a mother forget the child she nurtures or have no compassion on the child she bears?" It would be unusual, wouldn't it, for a mother to forget the child she bears, yet it may happen. "Though she may forget, I will not forget you," says God. "See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hand." A love that is deeper than a mother's love. For those of you in the 8 o'clock, you may remember a very old hymn by William Cowper called "Hark, My Soul, It Is the Lord." Anyone remember it or know it? A few of the choristers. There's a verse in there that says, "Can a mother's tender care cease toward the child she bears? Yes, she may forgetful be, I will not. I always will remember thee," or something like that. But that was a verse I remember singing as a young person that reminded me that God's love was greater than a mother's love. My sister died of cancer when she was in her 40s. She had three young girls, 12, 10, and 8. As she lay dying in Sydney Hospital, she said to me, "Ken, I can't understand why God would be calling me home when these three young girls still need me." And I recall saying to her at the time, "I don't know either why, but I can assure you that God loves your children even more than you do. And that's the only comfort that I can bring you. God's love was demonstrated on the cross supremely, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. It was while we were sinners that God sent his Son to die for us on the cross. And Paul's prayer to his church people, which is really his prayer for us as well, is that we might come to know the height, the depth, the breadth of God's love for us. So if you've never really known a mother's love, then there is a sadness there. The only comfort I can give you is that there is a God who loves you even more than your mother would have loved you or should have loved you. A God who cares for you and sent his Son to die for you. In the month of May, as you know, we are particularly focused on asking people if they know that love. So I want to ask you that question again this morning. If there's anybody here who really has never said, "Yes, that love is for me. That's my God who loves me with a love greater than a mother's love," then I want to encourage you to let that love come into your life, to say, "Yes, I want to know that love. I want that love. I'm grateful that God has died on the cross for me. I want to accept his invitation for forgiveness." You can hear about it many times and never respond. You can come to church day in and day out. But you need one day to respond to that love. And if you never have, let me ask you, what's stopping you? What is it that stops people from accepting God's greatest gift? The gift of his Son. And there would never be a better time to do it than today. And if you would like to do that, please speak to us about it. Eric, John, myself, come and speak to us about knowing Jesus Christ and accepting the love that will not let you go, the love that you can count on, the only love in the end that lasts forever. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this Mother's Day. It's a moment. It's a moment in our year, a day in each year to think about our mothers, one way or the other. For those of us who have pleasant memories, Father, thank you for them. Father, for those who do not, comfort them, we pray. And Father, we pray that as we think about the love that surpasses even that love, the love that will not let us go, the love that has us engraved on the palms of your hands, that you will help each one here, especially those that may be slow to respond, to accept that loving kindness that you offer, that amazing grace, and give our hearts and our lives to you this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.